Good morning. Please have a seat. I want to take this opportunity to welcome us to this time and place of worship. My name is Michael Mugford, and I am in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside. And so on behalf of those who worship here regularly, welcome. We are glad you are here with us this morning. As we gather this morning and you've looked at your bulletins, you'll note that our service will be interspersed with our act of remembrance throughout the service. So please do follow along that way. If you are visiting with us this morning, a very warm welcome to you. We are glad you are here with us worshiping today. And do let us know you've been here. We have a guest book just outside the entryway of the sanctuary. Join us for a time of coffee and fellowship after the service. It's always a wonderful time. And if you would like to leave an offering at that time in the service, there's certainly no requirement to do so. But if that's something you feel you would like to do, there are visitor offering envelopes in the pews. Fill them out, and our finance committee would love to say a little note of thanks for having worshipped with us this morning. If you think that Cole Harbor Woodside might be a place where you would like to worship on a regular basis, come see me after the service and we can have some conversation about what life here at Cole Harbor Woodside is about, or talk to any of the other wonderful people here, because we all love the community which we share together here this day. So as I said, our service is built around our act of remembrance, it being November the 11th. This day we mark not only Remembrance Day, but the 100th anniversary of the signing of the armistice that ended hostilities of the First War. And so with that in our minds, that will take the tenor of our worship here this morning. As we gather, we have been seeking to walk in deeper right relations with our First Nations brothers and sisters. And so our acknowledgement of place this morning is slightly amended for this morning. And I would ask you to respond with the bold. Indigenous people have served in the First and Second Wars, the Korean War, and it has been estimated that as many as 12,000 First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people served in these conflicts, with at least 500 losing their lives. Indigenous peoples continue to serve in our Canadian Armed Forces, upholding the ideals of being partners in Canada. We gather in this place with gratitude, acknowledging that we live and worship on lands that are, by law, the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. We light our candles this morning. We light the candle of Christ. It is Christ's light that calls us together. It's Christ's light that calls us into community, that creates us one in Him. We light a candle of peace, for we know that there are many places in our world where there is not peace, and Jesus has called us to be peacemakers, peace bringers. May this light remind us of our task and our ministry. We light a candle this morning, as we do each Sunday, in honor of those who are serving in our armed forces here at home and around our world, in an attempt to bring peace to places where there is no peace, in an attempt to serve the common good of humanity, and in an attempt to bring peace to our world. We also recognize those who serve in other ways, those who are first responders, EMTs and firefighters and peace officers, those who staff our hospitals and nursing homes, emergency rooms, those who are there for us when we are in our deepest moment of need. We honor them and their ministry this day and always. Our opening song this morning is our national anthem.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please have a seat. Our opening prayer is unison in nature. Let us pray together. On this day of remembrance, O God, we give thanks for peacekeepers and pacifists, for those who served on the front lines and those who protested and marched, for those who volunteered and those who waited anxiously at home, for those who hoped that things would get better, and those who could not stand by and wait. We give thanks for those who believed that the world could be a better place. We remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, trusting that others could and would carry the torch that would light the path to your shalom. We pray that you call us to work for the day when all who were once enemies will be partners in making our world a place of peace and justice. In Christ we pray, may it be so. Amen. End our opening hymn this morning, 507. Today we are called to be disciples. Mary Lou is going to share our first scripture readings with us this morning.
The first reading is from Micah, chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Look, the Lord is coming from his dwelling place. He comes down and treads on the heights of the earth. The mountains melt beneath him and the valleys split apart, like wax before the fire, like water rushing down a slope. All of this is because of Jacob's transgression, because of the sins of the people of Israel. What is Jacob's transgression? Is it not Samaria? What is Judah's high place? Is it not Jerusalem? The second reading is Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth.
Thank you, Mary Lou. The children who are here this morning would come down for a time together. Who's coming? Careful the cord. Don't catch yourself on the cord. Wait. There you go. Good. Hate to see someone trip on the cord. Come on down this way a little bit. Our mat's off center. There we go. Come on down. Come on down.
Hello.
How are you this morning? Good.
Good.
Mm?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah? Mom and Dad are over there?
Yeah.
They're awesome. Yeah? Have a seat. How are you doing? Come on, you want a seat right there? So, of course, we all know what today is. What's today? Remembrance Day, right? So what do we do on Remembrance Day? It's kind of odd that it happens on a Sunday sometimes. What do we do? We remember people that died, yeah. What else do we do? Mm-hmm. So the people who took care of them, those who served, those who died, yeah. We honor those who serve today in our armed forces. Yes, that's right. Yes, so there were lots of people from Canada who went and who served overseas in the First War, which ended 100 years ago today.
Today,
yeah.
Today.
We'll have a moment of silence and remember at 11 a.m. because that was the time that was decided upon that would be the end of hostilities. Yeah. Why is it important to remember? Why is it important? Yeah, so we wear poppies. I have a poppy here. You've been wearing a poppy on your coat for the last little while? No? Did you wear a poppy? Some people wear poppies. Yeah. Oh, one of those lost poppies, eh? Lots of us lose our poppies. So it's important for us to remember, because what happens if we don't remember? What happens if we don't remember something? It'll be forgotten about, right? Yeah, and we don't want that, do we? Why don't we want to forget? Why do we want to remember? Pardon? No, I'm sorry. Got a little shy. I think we want to remember because we want to make sure, we want to try and make sure that we don't make the same mistakes that we made before, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
You know, my mom said, I can't go to this our thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is our church building, and this is where we come, and we can come here because we have the ability to choose and to be free to do that, right? And we have to remember, because if we don't remember, we, like as I said, we make the same mistakes over and over again. Have you ever had to go somewhere or do something and say, oh, my heavens, I forgot? You didn't remember? I need a map. How many people use Google Maps to get from one place to another? Yeah, right? Why? Because I have a hard time remembering, and I would end up someplace where I don't want to be. You're shorter.
Yeah.
Michael. Michael. My name's Michael.
My name's
Yeah. Yeah. So we need to remember. Because what happens if we forget about how awful things are during a war, during a conflict, we might think it might be okay to do it again. Right? Or if we forget that other people did an awful lot so that we would get to be here today, we might forget. If we don't remember it, we might not remember how to live properly. One of the things that we do in church is we read our Bibles each week and we talk about God so we can remember where God is in our lives, and so that God wants us to be bringers of peace, you know, to be bringers of hope. And if we don't remember that on a regular basis, yeah, then we forget what we're supposed to be about and what we're supposed to be doing as a people of faith, right? So it's important to be remembering things all over the place in our lives, whether it's Remembrance Day or whether it's remembering God when we find God in different places, remembering that people that we meet are also children of God, even if they don't act the same way that we do or believe the same way that we do. That they are children of God as well. And God calls us to be peacemakers and to be peace bringers. That's one of the candles that we light on a Sunday morning. So it's important for us to honor and to remember and to do the things that God calls us to do. Don't you think? Yeah? Let's have a little prayer, and then we're going to sing a song. Say, thank you, God, for those who have served. We remember those who have died, and we are thankful for the peace we have in our country. Help us to remember Jesus' call to be peacemakers. Amen. Thank you very much. And we're going to sing, What Does the Lord Require You of You? And it's in Voices United number 701. And it's kind of around. I don't know. We'll give it a shot. We'll give it a try. It's going to be up on the screen. So the first part is, can we just maybe see the words for a second? So the first part is, What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? And then the second part, which comes in as around, is justice, kindness, walk humbly with your God. And then the third part that comes in is to seek justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. So can I maybe beg of the choir that they would sing each of those parts individually now so people can figure out where they want to jump in? And just to add to the confusion. Okay, so the first part, back one screen. Yeah. What does the Lord... comfortable are you feeling? I see a thumbs up with it. So what I'm going to ask then is this section over here to do the first part. So what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require? And you just keep singing that over and over again. And then the center section, you're going to do the justice, kindness, walk humbly with your God. And then the third part, you guys over here are going to go, to seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. That was really brave to leave this on. Okay, so you guys will start. Ready? And the choir, you're going to do all three. Good. Woo-hoo. Let's try it. Fingers, bless you. Well, thank you all very much. There is Sunday school program for you upstairs. Who's puppy? Who's puppy? We have a lost puppy. Who's puppy? Someone lost a puppy. Oh, there you go. Phew. Whoops. Jump down. All right, are you off to Sunday school? All right, where you go? The teacher's waiting down there. There she goes. Yay! Thank you.
last reading is Micah chapter 6, 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Thank you, Mary Lou. We have our next act of remembrance or remembrance moment this morning. The moments of remembrance have been taken from guides offered by the Royal Canadian Legion, and so we thank them for their contribution to the life and work of our community. I have about a minute before 11 o'clock. Be a slight change in the remembrance moment in that the placing of the wreath will happen right after the act of remembrance, and we're pleased to have Stu Micklethwaite and Ian Pattinson who are going to be placing the wreath this morning.
Thank you. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. By the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
Pause with me for a moment of prayer. O God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts find their source in you, our strength and our song. In Christ we pray. Amen. I think last year I shared with you as part of my reflection some of my remembrances of the earliest times I had been to a Remembrance Day service. I was in the Boy Scouts out of Christ Church in Dartmouth, and I can remember standing on the lawn at the cenotaph next to Sullivan's Pond with the water wicking up my jeans to the point where by the time the service was over, I was wet to the knees or beyond. It's been part of my tradition for many years to be a part of Remembrance Day services where I have been able. I was honored and blessed numerous occasions in my time in the Annapolis Valley to be asked by the local branch of the Royal Canadian Legion to participate in Remembrance Day services. We had several, as we do here at Cole Harbour Woodside, several Second War veterans in our congregations as well. I'll confess, though, that the Remembrance Day observance has left me conflicted at times. A sense of unease at times, because the line between remembrance and glorification sometimes gets traversed. Actions honoring those who have served are sometimes respectful, solemn remembrances that honor life and death, and the lament of death and destruction. And other times they turn to hyperbole and jingoism that attempts to paint the conflicts of the last 100 years as nothing but noble and honorable endeavors to, quote, save the world from tyranny. We have to live somewhere in the in-between. I've studied history. I was a history major in my time at school, and I'm not certain that we can stand with either of those perspectives alone. I honor and I mourn the loss of life, civilian, bystander, innocent, and combatant. And as a general public, however, we only know what our governments permit us to know, and the rest is assumption as to true cause, nature, or even result. We know today that war is never as simple as God, king, and country, or freedom versus tyranny, or any other dichotomy we wish to apply to the wanton destruction of human life, the natural world, and the dignity of humankind. And so, in churches everywhere, we struggle with how to remember and honor that which has been, and to ensure that we live the call of peace that Christ calls us to live. This last weekend, I don't know, not everybody has cable. We happen to have cable, and Turner Classic Movie Channel has been playing a lot of the classic war movies over the last weekend. And on Friday night, although I have heard of it, I had never seen it, and I watched almost all of a movie called Sergeant York, starring Gary Cooper. Waiting to see if anyone was going to swoon. We're okay. Gary Cooper in the leading role of Alvin York, who is a poor farmer from Tennessee. And in spite of huge effort, he can't make his farm work in order to get enough for his family. to get them out of poverty. At the beginning of the movie, he has a penchant for alcohol and fighting, and a terrible blow to his plans for happiness and freedom goes awry. And when he finds out who the perpetrator is, he goes off with murderous intentions to kill the person who has thwarted his happiness. And he has a Damascus Road experience. In thunder and lightning storm atop his mule he's riding, and he is struck by lightning, knocked from his mule. The mule is knocked over, and his gun is destroyed. And in the moments that follow, he finds religion in the little worshiping place in his community. He has a complete change of character and heart, and he throws himself into learning the book, as he calls it, and loving God's people. And then as the story progresses, the United States enters World War I, and he is conscripted in spite of his appeals as a conscientious objector. And his faith tells him he cannot kill another man because that's what the book says. But his nation is forcing him to war. Now, in the end, after some amazing conversations, if you haven't seen the movie, I recommend you go see it. If not, or you find it and see it. If not, there's a wonderful section where York and his commanding officer have a bit of a theological discussion back and forth about what each of them reads in the scriptures. It's an amazing little scene, and I highly encourage you to have a look at it. But in the end, he goes to war. And he serves. And in the end, he becomes a war hero because of the actions that he undertook. And when he returns from war, he's having a conversation with his state representative. And his state representative is offering him all these money, all these gifts, all these wonderful things because he did this thing in war. And he struggles. Alvin York struggles with that. And he struggles to make a balance between his faith in God and God's call to be peacemakers and to ensure the rights of the innocent are protected, even if violence is the manner by which we are forced to do it. And he's happy with the adulations and he's thankful for them, but he doesn't take any of the money. He doesn't think he should earn money from killing someone. But he said, "What I did was I remembered the lives that I was trying to save." And that's how he justified it. That's how he figured it out in his own mind, as each one of us need to do. When we read the scriptures, we find a myriad of stories of how God used war to bring about God's end and means. I have to really question this hermeneutic, but the reality is that the stories are there. The stories of the Israelites as they come out of Egypt, as they take over the land which they believe has been promised to them. But we, as people of faith, have to realize that the stories are there in our scriptures, and we have to figure out how to interpret them in our day and age. We can also find a myriad of passages that lead us to understand that God abhors the death of another human being at one person's hands. For are not all people created in the image of God? Even our enemy. The rabbis write a midrash. A midrash is a commentary on stories in the scriptures that the Jewish rabbis tell. And there's an ancient midrash that goes, as the angels and God are standing in heaven watching the Israelites leave Egypt, and the Egyptian armies are pursuing the Israelites down into the Red Sea. And the Red Sea comes and floods over the Egyptians, and the Egyptian army is wiped out. An angel looks over at God, and God is crying. And the angel asks God, "Why are you weeping?" And God says, "Because the Egyptians are my children too." We will never solve the issues between nations with war. I firmly believe that. One conflict sets up the grounds for the next conflict. But at the same time, we must struggle with the reality that we cannot let oppression, bigotry, degradation continue to occur while we idly stand by. And so what are we to do? We can judge our actions by the words of Scripture, as Alvin York did, and seek to live the best that both of these aspects of our lives call upon us to do. To recognize that when one lives by the sword, one dies by the sword. And to live in tension with loving our enemies and doing good to those who curse you. Both found from the lips of Jesus. The prophet Micah lived at a time when the people of Israel were being carried off after the defeat at the hands of the Assyrian army. Micah doesn't offer them much in the way of answers, but offers them hope. Hope that one day a righteous leader will come out of Bethlehem, whom we interpret as Jesus, who will come and bring peace to the people. But in the meantime, Micah tells them, God's told you what you need to do. What does the Lord require of you, human one? What is good in the Lord's eyes? To do justice. Not believe justice, but to do justice. To embrace faithful love. And to walk humbly with your God. There are verbs in all three of those little phrases. Those are things for us to do. To walk, to embrace, and to do. That is what the Lord requires of us. May we live that today so that our tomorrows will find us at peace. May it be so. Are there announcements that need to be shared with the community at this time? Short week, quiet week coming up. Susanna has, and Cindy have our moment for mission.
Displaced people. Our gifts for mission and service support displaced people. The widespread displacement of people is a crisis around the world. In 2014, the United Nations High Commission for Refugees reported 19.5 million refugees, those fleeing their homes across international borders, and 38.2 million internally displaced people, those who remain within their own country but cannot return to their homes. Throughout 2015, many more undocumented people were displaced as refugees or were internally displaced due to natural disasters, including here in Canada. More than half of refugees and displaced people are under the age of 18. Through mission and service, the United Church and our partners are addressing the needs of displaced people in many ways.
Mission and service provides for the basic needs of displaced people. As the number grows globally, the need for resources for housing, shelter, medical assistance, and education also increases. Through refugee sponsorship, congregations and community groups are working hard to provide the emotional, financial, and practical support refugees need and positively integrate into Canadian society. Mission and Service funds the refugee sponsorship program staff that assist congregations. Congregations respond to immediate needs of refugee claimants entering Canada. Mission and Service funds the national program staff that provide advice and guidance to congregations. Mission and Service funds the United Church's participation in the Canadian Council of Refugees so that we can advocate with the Canadian government on refugee-related issues. If Mission and Service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you've not given, please join us in making Mission and Service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you, Cindy and Susanna, our mission and service enthusiasts. In that spirit, then, we continue our worship this morning as we present our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
us pray. O God, the offerings in these plates, the offerings that are offered through par, the offerings that are given by the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, all of these find their source in you, our God, and they call us to live in right relation with you and with our brothers and sisters in our world. May these gifts be blessed. May we be the blessing we seek to be. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. The prayers of the people are on the insert in your bulletin this morning. I'll ask you again to respond with the bold. The scriptures record, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that we may walk the paths of the Most High. And we shall beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And none shall be afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Creator and ruler of life, who has given us the longing and the promise of shalom, let us begin our press for peace in the world by accepting the inner peace you offer to our lives. Give us your peace, O God.
Give us your peace, O God.
Let us be makers of peace within our families and communities. Give us your peace, O God.
Give us your peace, O God.
Fill our hearts with a love of humankind and a respect for human dignity that will demand justice and peace for all the world. Let us have peace, O God.
Let us have peace, O God.
Bless those around the world, including our own peacekeepers and peacemakers, who are prepared to sacrifice so much for the cause of peace in the world. Let us have peace, O God.
Let us have peace, O God.
Guide your people, O God, to a concern for a world peace, and let us accept our responsibility to call our nation and others to commit themselves to a strategy for peace. Help us make peace, O God.
Help us make peace, O God.
Lead us in our press for peace, that we may not cease until there is truly peace on earth. Help us make peace, O God.
Help us make peace, O God.
We offer our prayers this day in the words of Jesus, who teaches us that we can pray together, saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trouble, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." Our closing hymn this morning, number 28 in More Voices, "God of the Bible."
Thank you.
from this time and this place, bearing the light of Christ within us. The world seeks that light. It seeks love. It seeks hope, justice, and peace. Let us bear those things to the world, for it is God who sends us. Amen. Thank you.